Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today I'm speaking with Mira Horowitz, the founder and executive director of Lucky Dog Animal Rescue, and really excited to have you on. I love what you guys are doing. Found you on Instagram, and I'm just going to go ahead and pass it over to you. Let me know about your organization, what it is that you guys specialize in.
Sure. Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. So Lucky Dog Animal Rescue is what we call a volunteer powered and foster based animal rescue in Northern Virginia and the DC metro area. So what that means is we have a tiny staff we have 8 staff compared to over 2000 volunteers. So really the bulk of our work is done by volunteers. We do not have a facility of our own. We don't have a kennel or anything like that. So all of the animals that we rescue live in foster homes when they are waiting for their forever home. And where we get our animals is primarily from high kill shelters throughout the rural South, even as far away as Puerto Rico. And sometimes we work with international arrivals as well. That's slowed down significantly since COVID, but is starting to pick back up.
And what does that facilitation process look like when, you know, without kind of like operating without any overhead? Like, what exactly, like, how does that work with you and your team?
Yeah. So there is overhead, but there is no kennel. So gotcha. The way that we operate is we have certain shelter partners that we work regularly with, and they have transports to the DC area every week, every other week, every third week, however, it depends on the shelter. And we work with the teams on the ground in the shelters to identify the dogs and cats that we think would be good fits coming to Lucky Dog. And we get information on them, make sure that they're fully vetted, find out, are they good with other dogs, other cats? You know, are they good with kids? Are they scared? Do they need an adults only home? That kind of thing. And then we post them on our website and on our social media, and we share them with our pre-approved adopter list. So we have a number of people that apply to adopt a dog or a cat with us, and they don't really know who or what they want. And so we help them find their match. So once we commit to an animal out of a shelter, we share them with our pre-approval list. So when the animals arrive off transport, some of them go directly to their forever homes and some of them go into foster care. And then once they're here in foster care, adopters can meet them either virtually via FaceTime, Skype, you know, Zoom, Google Meet, you name it, or they can meet them in person and an in-person meet and greet, depending on the comfort level of the foster. And we are having adoption events in person now. So they could meet them at our adoption events that are held on a rotating basis throughout the DC metro area.
And can you go into how you started this and kind of the story behind that too? I think definitely want to know that.
Sure. So it was a terribly poorly thought out plan. there was no plan. There was a lot of passion and a lot of excitement and not much planning. And I think if you told me in 2009, as we were embarking on this, myself and a couple of other volunteers, that it would eventually become a full-time job for me, taking me, you know, out of what I was doing at the time, which was government service, I would have laughed and be like, you can't have a career in animal welfare. Like, that's the fun thing you do on the side. But how we started was there was a group of us that were volunteering at another animal organization here in the DC area. And we thought there's a better way to do this, a more efficient way to do this, to really help adopters find the right dog or cat in a more efficient and faster way. And so that animals could come out of shelters and go straight into adoptive homes, freeing up that foster space. And so we decided to start Lucky Dog. We were really dog focused for the first 7-ish years. But now we have a huge cat program as well. So it's really been fun to see that evolution and that growth. I can't overemphasize this enough. We are driven by the volunteers. When the volunteers have a passion and a desire to move in a direction, we follow that. And really, that's how the cat program got started. We had a group of people that really wanted to invest in rescuing cats and took on that challenge. And now we've got a great program.
That's cool. And I think that's, you mentioned volunteers and how important and critical they are for organizations like this. And how many volunteers do you have in your umbrella?
We have about 2,000 volunteers in the DC area and about 40 or 50 in South Carolina, which is one of our primary shelter areas that we pull from. DC is a very transient area, right? So, you know, every 4 years there's a big presidential election, every 2 years there's the midterms. And so as people go in and out of government service, that population kind of continually repopulates. And so from the perspective of always having a great pool of new people to reach out to and to try to bring under umbrella, that's great. The sad thing is they often leave town and, you know, go back to wherever, you know, they came from or go on to a new place. So, so that the transientness of DC both helps and hurts our volunteer program, but being a political town as well, the one thing that both sides can always agree on is we want to have great relationships with our dogs and cats. And so that's also a fantastic thing. There's not like cyclicalness in terms of what administration is in power and how many volunteers we have or anything like that. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And something I never even thought about. And you mentioned too, how you're pulling from these shelters that have, you know, maybe in these like kill shelters. Well, yeah. Are there certain locations that you're pulling from more often that you find, or like, what are some of these issues that you're seeing maybe from some of these areas? I don't know how familiarized you have to get with that, but I'm curious to know your insight of that on that.
So the most important thing for me when deciding, like, can we pull animals from the shelter is what is their vetting capacity? Like how health, because we're going directly into foster homes. They're not going into another kennel facility where I can get them healthy. And so the first and most important thing is, you know, what is the vetting and how reliable is the information on the animals? So if they tell me that this dog is going to be good with other dogs, or is it going to come up and be dog aggressive, right? Or if they tell me this is a friendly cat and it comes out and, you know, anyone who tries to pet it gets bitten, that's obviously not a good thing either. So having a team on the ground or a person on the ground that can really give you that reliable information is super important. Knowing, of course, that behavior in the shelter is very different from behavior in a home or in a foster home, you know, but still at least starting with information you can trust. Our largest shelter partner is Florence County, South Carolina, and we partner with the county shelter. The county shelter has an incredibly, incredibly low local adoption rate. It's, you know, under 10%. And so the vast overwhelming majority of the animals that leave that shelter alive come to Lucky Dog. And we've been working with them since our inception in 2009. We've built up a team of volunteers down there as well. And we've gained the trust of that animal care facility. So we are able to go in and be on the ground and evaluate the dogs ourselves and get really good information on them. So we've developed this really good partnership that has improved the life saving for the county and improved what we can provide for our constituents here in the DC area. We supplement those transports with other shelters in South Carolina, Virginia. We bring in from Texas. We have partnerships in Puerto Rico. And so our real mission is to try to help shelters that have no other help, right? If there are a lot of other rescues helping a particular shelter, then I tend to not step into that because they're set. I'd like to help the shelters that don't have the help.
Yeah. And I imagine, you know, transporting these animals, it, you know, it definitely comes with its costs. And what are some maybe creative ways that you've used to kind of raise money for your organization?
Yeah, well, you know, the most interesting thing is the the best fundraising is not always the planned fundraising. So, for example, we were doing a transport a couple of years ago, and before, I think it was Hurricane Florence. It could have the hurricane name wrong, but it was a big hurricane coming towards South Carolina. Our shelter, while not on the coast, is the Florence shelter is an evacuation site. So it has to be emptied prior to any coastal hurricane coming to South Carolina so that people escaping with their own pets have a place they can put their pets. So we were doing an emergency transport of, I don't know, 60 animals on a Wednesday afternoon. The hurricane was supposed to hit Thursday, and an hour and a half outside of Florence, the van broke on the side of the road with a single driver. We never send single drivers. You know, we did it just this time, and it was just one man in my van. And we put out a call on social media, and I'm not joking you, but a biker group came to our aid and helped unload the animals, give them water, and walk them. And another transport company that had just done a transport saw our post and came to pick up our animals and turned around and drove back north. And people saw this, and we raised the money to buy a new van. So that was completely unplanned. But at the same time, we recognized that we needed to get our story out. This was an amazing story. And it was about how this community of people that we didn't even know came together to save these animals evacuating in front of a hurricane. And so that's been one of our great stories. Other stories, of course, are those animals that you find in the shelter that no one else can help. We have a dog that is ready to come up on transport, not this Saturday, but next Saturday. Already has an adopter waiting, and came into the shelter and had just been hit by a car. And I'm not even going to describe what the legs looked like in the pictures, but it would have bled out if Lucky Dog hadn't been on the ground in the shelter picking it. You know, animal control would have just put it in a kennel, and we picked it right up and took it immediately to the emergency vet. And so sharing those stories and the things that we're able to do because we have the funding and the support of our donors. And we know that if we go out and we say, we just found this dog and half of its leg is hanging off and we really need to get it emergency care, they're going to say, we got your back, go do it.
That's amazing. That's so amazing. And I think too, it just goes to show the power of community. And sometimes you just got to ask. Like sometimes you just got to ask and be like, hey, here's what's the issue.
Yeah.
And I think that's so cool that you guys have that reach and that community behind you.
And we try really hard to ask only when we need to, right? I think that's the flip side is you don't want to ask all the time. And yeah. We try really hard to tell people like when we need your help, we legitimately really need your help. Otherwise we're going to take care of things and go about our business and let you know about the successes that we're having. But that's also a big part of it too. It's kind of like the boy who cried wolf, right? Mm-hmm. You can only go to that well so many times.
That's so true. Yeah. And it's like, and that way when you do ask, they know like, okay, wow, like this is really serious. So that's exactly. Cool. And what are some future plans for Lucky Dog, some things that you're personally excited about? Yeah. And curious to know there.
Yeah, we actually have a huge, huge, huge project coming up that we're so excited about. We've been talking about this for years. In February of 2021, we purchased 20 acres of land in Florence, South Carolina, and we are building a rescue facility there. We're planning to break ground at the end of February. We have 50% of the project funded, and this is going to be a really unique facility in the South Carolina region, I think in the southern United States, in that this is not a shelter for animals. This is not a place where we are looking to house long term. This is a place where animals are going to come, they're going to get vetted, and they're going to get sent north to where there is a greater demand for rescue animals. So we're going to have a community vet clinic to try to help prevent the problems that and result in animals going into shelters. We're going to have low cost spay, neuter, and vaccines. It will also care for our rescue animals. We'll have a building that's dedicated to the dogs going north. We will have a parvo and ICU treatment center for animals that have, or puppies primarily, probably that are infected with parvo virus, which is often a death sentence in shelters. And we are hopefully going to be able to raise the funds to build a cat building and another dog facility, a kennel with a heartworm treatment center. So we're really excited about this project. And it doesn't change the way we'll operate in DC. DC will remain a foster-based operation, but it will allow us to take from more shelters in need in that southern region and get those animals ready to move.
Awesome. That's so cool. And seriously, congratulations. I think that's what it's such a good idea. And the fact that you guys are not only you had the idea and you're executing on it is that's amazing.
And scary at the same time.
Yeah. A little bit, but a little, that's always nice though, to have that little right. bit of you know, that little bit of emotion there with it. Where can people follow you guys at and just keep up with this whole journey? And like I said, I love what you guys are doing on Instagram. So I figured I just have to ask.
Of course, Instagram, of course, DC yep. Lucky Dog is our handle. And then we're on Facebook as well, Lucky Dog Animal Rescue, and Twitter. And we are currently trying to find someone that can really help us with Snapchat, because I am way beyond the years of the Snapchat users. I can't even, but you know, we're trying really hard to be able to leverage these different platforms and reach the folks that might really be interested in animal rescue. And one of our really big focuses is how do we engage the youth group, right? That next generation of volunteers, how do we get them engaged in a way that they can help with the animals and start to learn that giving back is a really important part of this life.
Yeah. And before you go, I want to ask one question too, for someone who's wanting to get into rescue, whether it's from a volunteer standpoint or like, hey, I actually want to make a career out of this. Yeah. What advice would you give them from someone who just, you know, jumped in because they were excited?
Yeah. Well, first you gotta love it, right? There's the money. If you're in it for the money, you're going to fall out of it.
Really. Yeah.
and that's, you know, when we're hiring, right, I always tell people, If you don't derive an incredible satisfaction from knowing that you're saving these lives and that you're bringing this joy into families, if that's not your driving motivation, you're really going to struggle, because it is a lot of hard work. It is a lot of long hours and it is not a lot of pay. So that has to be your motivation and your driving factor. From the volunteer standpoint, you know, get involved, your local rescue, your local shelter, you know, search them on whatever, you know, Google, Pet Finder, what have you, Facebook, Instagram, you'll find them. And you know, there are all sorts of different kinds. There's the foster-based rescues like us. There's brick and mortar shelters, there's brick and mortar rescues. And there's all sorts of ways you can volunteer. So at least for Lucky Dog, you can foster, you can come to adoption events and hold a dog, or you can do all your volunteering from home with data entry, or helping us with social media, or helping us with fundraising, or we have volunteers that they make such a huge commitment, and it sounds so simple, but like they come every week and they pick up our laundry, you know, our the towels that we use at adoption events, and they return them at the end of the week. And otherwise, that, you know, we'd have a staff member doing laundry 24/7. But if five people come on Monday and pick up our five bags of laundry and they bring them back on Friday, we're golden for the week. So, you know, there's all sorts of different ways that you can volunteer. And, you know, it's just, you just got to jump in and find the right place. And if the first organization you try to volunteer with isn't a great fit, try another. You know, they're all different. No, it's not a one size fits all.
That's such great advice. And like you said, it's just, you got to love it. And I think it can be one of those things where I've done a million things, and this is, it's always so fulfilling, just not only helping with animals, but just connecting with individuals like yourself that are just on the ground floor. Like, hey, this is, you know, we're out here saving dogs, saving cats. So that's great advice. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your time with us. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure.